Okay, great.
Everybody knows everybody here.
Perfect. All right, great. Fantastic. All right, guys. My name's Beth, if you didn't catch that, and I'm an excellent volleyball player. So today we're actually starting a new series. It's called Wired. And I'm really, really excited about it because for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be digging into kind of how we were made and how we were created, particularly how we're wired to connect with each other and with God. And so I don't know if you've ever heard the expression before that I got my wires crossed, but it's really this idea that like, there's a misunderstanding between two people. For example, maybe you told your mom like, "Hey, pick me up at Wendy's after school," and she heard, "Pick me up at school on Wednesday." And then there's this miscommunication, and she's at school, and you're at Wendy's, and she's like, "What are you doing at Wendy's?" And you're like, "I told you I was going to Wendy's," and she's like, "No, you didn't. You said Wednesday after school," and I, you know, like. You get your wires crossed, right? There's this miscommunication that happens. And this expression actually comes from somewhere in history. Long before there was a cell phone that you could take anywhere you want and dial a number and directly be connected to somebody, you actually would pick up a phone that was attached to a cord that was anchored to a wall. You couldn't, like, go anywhere. And then you'd get the operator. And you'd say, "Operator, connect me to George." And she'd be like, "Oh, George is the nicest fellow in the world. Let me connect you to him." And then she would, at the table she sat at, there was this big wall with all these little holes, and there were wires that fit in those holes. And so she would take your wire, and she'd connect it to George's hole. George's wire, right? And then she'd listen to make sure she got it right, right? So she's listening, and then if you say, "Oh, hey, George," and all of a sudden the person on the other line says, "This isn't George, this is Bob," right? The expression would go, the operator would dime in and be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I got my wires crossed," right? There's a miscommunication that happened, and then she'd go and she'd find the real George, and Bob would be left alone or whatever, right? So it's this whole thing that one person is trying desperately to connect to another person, and the wires get crossed. Some misunderstanding happens, something doesn't go well, and for us, this happens all the time. This happens at home, like the example of where, you know, you tell your mom, "Hey, I'm going to Wendy's," and she's like, "Pick me up after school after Wednesday," and all that. They happen at school sometimes in terms of your teacher says, like, "Hey, this project is due Sunday," and you hear, "The project is due someday." It sounds so much better than Sunday, right? Or it also happens between friends. Like, let's say I said, "Jacob, you're ideal at that." And Jacob hears, "Jacob, you're an idiot." These aren't even close, but let's just say, right? There are miscommunications that happen a lot of times over text with our friends and family in particular, right? You mean it as a joke, and the other person is totally offended that you could possibly have said that, right? So these wires get crossed all the time. And sometimes it brings us to a place of like complete disaster, and sometimes we think, "That's it, I'm not even gonna try to connect with people. I'm just gonna choose to be on a deserted island all by myself with Netflix. And that'll be good enough for me."
Well, you got Netflix.
Yeah, you got Netflix. You have all you need. Now, the problem is, that actually won't work. It may bring you some satisfaction for a day or two, but if any of you have watched Netflix, like binge-watched for two whole days, after a while, you're like, "I need some people." And the reason for that is because you were wired to connect with other people. You were wired to be with other people. And it's messy and it's hard, but you were wired that way. You have to do it. And it's not just like something that evolved. It's God put that in you. God put that in you from the very beginning. And we know this because in the book of Genesis, there's actually the story of God creating the first people. And if you have your Bibles or you've got it on your phone, you can open it up. I forgot the Bible part today, but open it up to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. You see, what's happening in the middle of this is God is creating the whole world, and he makes this perfect world, right? It's perfect. He doesn't just make the trees, he creates the system for how the trees work. And he doesn't just create, Craig, you're a person, but he creates the way that people are wired, the way that they think, the way that their synapses fire to make your fingers move. Move your fingers. Look at that. God did that, right? Yeah. All right, so God creates this, and he creates the first person. His name was Adam, and he creates the first person, and he gives Adam a job. He says, Adam, you're going to take care of the whole earth. You're going to take care of all the animals and all that stuff. And so Adam goes out, and he's like trying to find, he's doing his job. But then God realizes something. Somebody read Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 for me. All right, great, Abby.
The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.
Great. So God has made all this great stuff, and then he looks at Adam, and he says, oh, but it's not good for him to be alone. That's not a good thing. So he brings around the giraffes, and he brings around the zebras and the fish, and he realizes, yeah, none of those are good. None of those are good enough. And so he creates another person, and that's the person that Adam is supposed to connect with. See, we were wired from the very beginning to connect with one another. Now, the problem is it's really hard, and it's going to be really messy, and sometimes there's going to be miscommunication, and there's going to be jealousy or anger or frustration as we try to connect with each other. But we are wired to connect with one another, and that's why God created us for community, right? That's what a community is. Now, some of you may be thinking, no, a community is my HOA board, your parents' HOA board. Does any people, do you even know if your parents have an HOA where they live? Anybody know? Okay, great. I just want to let you know, the community we're talking about is not the HOA community that your parents have to be a part of. The community we're talking about isn't just like, hey, I kind of know these people. The community we're talking about is a community that's so tightly knit that they accept one another and they serve each other, even though they are different, and even though it's inconvenient. They keep saying, I'm here, I'm back, I'm here for you. Even when it gets messy, even though when wires get crossed, they keep saying, I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you, I'm here to care for you, I'm here to love you. And it's really interesting because in the book of Matthew, there's this guy that comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, out of all the things that God says we're supposed to do, what's the most important? And another way of saying that is, what's our purpose in life? And I've heard a lot of you guys sometimes ask that question, what am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do? And Jesus answers it with this. He says, the purpose of life is to love God and love others. Everything else comes after that. Love God and love others. That's the purpose. So if ever you're wondering, what am I supposed to do with my life? It's love God and love others. And that only happens when you're in a community with people. So how do we really do that? Well, I said it already, but I'm going to repeat it. It's to accept one another, even with your differences, especially with your differences. To be able to look at somebody and be like, hey, we're different, but I'm going to accept you anyways. We're like accepted. So that's the first thing. The other piece is to serve that community, to serve that person, to care so much about them that it's not like, yeah, you're different, but I accept you so we can stay in the same room together. It's, no, Craig, we're different, but I want to serve you. What can I do for you? How can I help you? What do you need? It's going that far. Now, there's two ways that Student Union is like together on a mission. I mean, there's actually lots of ways, but these two that I want to talk about, the ways that Student Union is together on a mission and trying to accept others and serve others. And I want to talk about two of those. The first one is this one here. And I'm going to have to get some more of these. But is the Rocky Point trip. Now, this is something that is actually not a Student Union trip. This is a mountain park trip. And they're talking about it in Big Church today, too. It is an opportunity for families or individuals to go to Rocky Point and help people who need help, who live in a different country, who speak a different language, and live at a different socioeconomical level. That's a lot of difference. But to accept them and to serve them by building a house. Perhaps you saw the house that's out front here. That's the type of house that they build. You leave on a Thursday, you go down there, and during the weekend, you build an entire house for a family that needs it. And so we want to encourage you to think about and talk with your parents about going on the Rocky Point mission trip together. This is an excellent opportunity to accept and to serve while getting to know this community that you're being sent out with. So that's one. The other thing that I wanted to tell you about is that if you go to DV, now if you don't go to DV, don't worry, we'll do something like this hopefully in the next year at other schools. But we're starting at DV because so many of you go to DV. But what we want to do is we're starting a club at DV that is all about caring for the student body. So it's a group of people that get together and they meet and they say, hey, who needs help? Like, what student needs help? What student is sick? What student needs to be encouraged? What student is feeling lonely? And what can we do to try to meet that need? I mean, talk about accepting and serving those right around you. Now, if you are interested in finding out more information about the DV serving team, there's a piece of paper right back there, and all I need you to do is write your name down there and sign your name, which I know is weird, but just write it and sign it. It's something that we need. So go ahead and do that if you're interested in doing this DV serving team. But even if either one of those, you're like, I don't care about either one of those, what I really want you to do this week, what I challenge you to do, is to find one person who is different from you and accept them and find a way to serve them. It doesn't have to be big drama like, I raised $1 million for you here. No, it can be something small, but to find somebody who's different and accept them and serve them. I want you to go ahead and you're going to talk about this in your groups afterwards. You can, if you have questions about the Rocky Point trip, you can grab a flyer, you can sign up your name, and the one more thing is next week we're going to start this board. And what we're going to do is we're going to take some time at the beginning of our time together and have you guys reflect and think of one way that you saw God reveal himself to you this week and put it up on the board. So you can start looking for that now and put that up on the board. What's that? In 2 weeks, because next week we're in big church. Thank you, Pam. All right, so in your groups, let's go ahead and dig into this whole idea.